Thank you. Good morning, everyone. You're very welcome, as always. Every Sunday we've been marching through Joshua, and we've got to the penultimate chapter tonight, so let's see how we get. You'll be very welcome to come to that. Tomorrow night, we've a kind of double header. We've our congregational prayer time at 7, and then the congregational committee are going to buy a lawnmower about 8 o'clock, we hope. So those are two very different events, but you're all very welcome to the prayer time. And obviously, as you look down the page, we've a lot of things to pray for. We have two candidates to pray for, and the first of them will be here in a fortnight's time. So you're getting formal notice today again of this happening. We have to do it two Sundays. This is the second one. And something that was suggested by one of our elders, but probably you're ahead of him. If you want to do a little bit of research on our candidates, you can, of course, go to, someone's nodding their head, you can go to YouTube and you can search for Castlereagh Presbyterian Church or Gilnihert Presbyterian Church or Gary Ball or Marianne Gillies, and you can actually see them conducting worship services in the past weeks and months. And the more information that you have, the more you have to pray about, and the better the decision when you come to that meeting on the Monday, the 27th of May. So I commend that to you. Next Sunday, the Reverend Ian McKee will be here, and we will touch on Christian Aid Week, which begins next Sunday. And a rather bizarre piece of information on the back of the announcement sheet, maybe, but I was conscious the other day that when I looked at my state pension going up by 8.4%, and some of you are retired, and your pension went up by 8.4%, but I know that your personal tax allowances are frozen. So what that means is that more and more people are being dragged into paying tax, and gift aid is a wonderful way to support not only Scrabble, but all the charities that you support. And as you'll see in the back, HMRC is our biggest contributor to the church, almost £15,000 this year. So if you need to talk to me about that, I'd be very happy to talk to you confidentially. So Pastor Michael Bostock is here, and he's giving me a wee nudge, which means that before he comes up here, he wants me to ask you, did anyone have a birthday in the past week? Okay. Well, Padraig, I have news for you. It wasn't your birthday past week, but it was mine. And I know there's a bar of chocolate here, and it may disappear. Anyone else have a birthday they want to confess? Who? Angela had a birthday. Angela, when was your birthday? Second of May, day before me. Okay. Well, look, Angela, we will pray for you. Angela's struggled a little bit recently with her health, so that's another reason to pray for her. So let's just pray for her for a moment. Lord, we thank you for Angela. She has been a worshipper here for more years than any of us care to remember. You have been faithful to her, and you've brought her through many situations. You've kept her strong. And just now she needs your strength again. And we pray that for her. Mm-hmm. We thank you that she's been able to celebrate a birthday. We pray that the family were good to her. I'm sure they were. And we pray, Lord, for the year ahead, that it will bring much joy to her and her family. And we just thank you for her and for Derek and for their commitment to this church. In Jesus' name we would pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there's just one bar of chocolate, and Angela, you're going to get it. Okay.
If you were all Pooh Bear, you would be celebrating your unbirthdays. Because every day is an unbirthday, isn't it, you see? So, anyway, let's focus upon our God whom we come to worship. It's lovely to be here with you again today. May God bless each and every one of you. And my wife and I, Fran, we're glad to be here. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's stand to sing, drawing in God's good air, and sing at the top of our hearts and voices our first song, Jesus is the name we honour. Oh, it's changed. I thought it was this one. Never mind, we're going to sing that one instead. Is it Jesus? Is it? Blame John if it's wrong. He sent me the text. Which one is it? Join together in the fellowship of prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come together this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. The highest heavens are yours, including the countless multitude of stars. The earth is yours and everything in it. You hold in your hand the depths of the seas and the peaks of the mountains. The oceans are yours, for you made them, and your hands form the continents. Every beast in forest and jungle is yours, and the cattle on 1,000 hills, and every penny in every bank account or purse. You are the great and only God. In your hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. We praise you, King of heaven. You are exalted and glorified in our hearts and minds and with our voices. For everything you do is right, and all your ways are just. You are the giver of all good gifts, and there is nothing we have that you have not granted to us. Your dominion is an everlasting dominion, and your kingdom endures from generation to generation. You do according to your will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can hold back your hand or say to you, "What are you doing?" Your ways are perfect. O God, we know that you have the power to do everything according to your perfect will. Not one of your thoughts can ever be frustrated. Power is your unique possession. Indeed, all power in heaven and earth is yours. What you have promised, you are able to perform. For with you nothing is impossible. Our God, you are of unspotted holiness and perfect uprightness. You are holy, thrice holy God, and our worshipful praises confess your holy and righteous rule. Holy and awesome is your name. You are holy in all your works, and holiness adorns the place where you dwell. And we are very aware of your holiness. Evil can never exist alongside you, for you are of purer eyes than to look on iniquity. All your ways are truth and uprightness. You are a God of absolute integrity. There is no variation or shadow of turning with you. No corruption may be found in you. No unrighteousness is found in you. And that is why we, gathered here this morning, confess our shortcomings, our sins, and our failures. We agree with you when you judge that there is none righteous, no, not one. You know our hearts, and you know that we do desire to be holy as you are holy. We do want to live our lives in a way that is pleasing before you. And we ask you, our God, that you will forgive us our sins and grant us to all that we need for life and godliness according to your gracious work in us. Father God, we can ask for your forgiveness and for your renewing with confidence because you have brought us into your presence through the intercession of your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he did all that was necessary to obtain your forgiveness and acceptance when he came to earth and lived a perfect life and died on the cross, suffering once for sins, for us who confess him as Lord. You have taken away all our iniquity and you have received us graciously, Father. And how we are so thankful that you love us so freely with an everlasting love. Thank you for your indwelling Holy Spirit who has moved us to gladly submit to your teaching and guidance so clearly given to us in the Bible. We exclaim, every one of us, oh, the riches of your kindness, patience and mercy. And so it is we are glad to know and love you because you first knew and loved us. We are more than satisfied with the richness of your grace and the fellowship we have with you, drawing near to you in faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus. You have made us joyful this day and every day. We have much to thank you for. Our hearts are delighting in you and overflowing with praise and thankfulness. Receive this, our worship and our adoration, we ask our Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I see there are some girls and boys here, and I'd really like you to, if you'd come to the front this morning. We can sit on the floor, or I'll sit on the step. I really want to tell you a short story and then give you something as well. Come to the front, please, this morning. As you don't normally, I know, but if you'd like to come and just sit down or grab a chair or something, it doesn't matter. And I've got something to give to you and to tell you a story. So come on, let's sit down here somewhere, shall we? Anybody else? Come on. Come along. Come on. I've got something for you. Come on. No, you won't come? All right. Go and sit. All right. Okay, you're there. Good. Everybody? Right. I'm grown up, so you can listen to. All right? Now then. Here's the story. A boy called Eddie wanted a new bike because he'd outgrown his old one. When you get bigger, you need a bigger bike, don't you? Have you got a bike? No, not yet. Okay, you'll get a bike one day, I'm sure. Anyway, the bike that Eddie wanted was bright, shiny red. Okay. And it had a black leather seat, and there is a picture of one. And it had white flash marks on the side. And Eddie dreamed about this bike day and night. And every time he walked past a certain shop, he saw it in the window. And when Eddie's birthday came, and it seemed to take so long, he knew just what he was going to get. This bike. Wait till you see my birthday bike, he told all his friends at school. Just wait till you see my new red, shiny bike. Well, after the family meal on his birthday, Eddie blew out the candles, and he saw his mum slip out of the room to get his present. And he could hardly wait for her to come back into the room wheeling his bicycle, his brand new shiny bicycle. But when she returned, she only held in her hand a small package. Oh dear. Here you are, Eddie, she said, and gave him a kiss. Happy birthday. Eddie's face fell. Where was his birthday bike? Now, what do you think? What do you think Eddie said to his mum and dad? What do you think? What do you think he said? Difficult to know, isn't it, really? Now, let's think about you. How many of you have a wish list where you perhaps are preparing a list of things that you would really like for your birthday, or maybe you're getting one ready for Christmas already? Are you? Have you got a list of things you would like for your birthday? Yes, I'm sure you have. Just, I want you to think about it. Don't tell me. Just think what's on the top of your list. Something you really, really, really would like. What's on top of the list? Okay, have you got that in mind? Right? A cake. Well, we all like cake, don't we? So, what's on top of the list? Now, what I want you to do is think about your list of things that you would really like and leave a blank line at the top. Move it down one and leave a blank line. Because I want you to put something in there that might be just a wee bit better than what you really, really want. Now, there's a Bible verse going to come up here that might give us a clue what might be, what should be at the top of your list, my list, everybody's list. Here it is. There's the wish list. Whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire besides you? Who's that talking about, you think? Who is it?
Jesus.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Let's all say that together, shall we? Whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire besides you? So have you ever had a disappointing list sometimes, a disappointing birthday? But if top of your list is that, you never ever will be disappointed. Ever. So God, or Jesus, is what we're thinking about there. Because you see, as I read the beginning of the service, God gives to us everything that we need. Everything. And he should really be the top of all our lists. So it's a great thing to... there's so many things that we do like. Of course we can want other things and we'd like other things, but top of the list should always be Jesus, God,
always should be the top of anybody's wish list. Because you see, he's done so much for us. Jesus came, he died for us, he paid for the price for our sins, he rose to new life, and he lives now to be your best friend ever and ever and ever. And he should be the top of your list every day, all the time. So let's say that verse again, shall we? Whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire besides you. Now, this morning I woke up at 5 a.m. and I thought of a song that I hadn't heard or sung for years and years. You won't know it. Some of the older people will know it here, because it was written in 1932. If you're good at sums, that's a lot of years ago, isn't it? Eh? How many years ago is that? Before my time, I hasten to add, folks. But I woke up this morning thinking of this song, so we're going to sing the first verse and chorus for you before you go out to Sunday school. So let's have a go, shall we? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have his riches untold. The bottom line there says, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords. So you can see why I thought of that. Or God gave that to me at 5 o'clock this morning. So I just spent on my computer finding the words, finding the music, just for you this morning. Now, before we sing it, I've got something for you. And even for those who wouldn't come up here. Here we go. Look, it's a pencil to write your wish list. And what's going to go on top of your wish list? Yeah, take a pencil. What colour would you like? What colour would you like? Come on, take a colour. Take a colour. What colour are you going to have? Pink one? Or you have a blue one? How would that do it? You going to take a pencil? Go on. Have that one? You going to take a pencil? Young man in the back there, would you like a pencil? Yes, you would. You're going to write a wish list as well, aren't you? There you go. Anybody else? Anybody else didn't come forward? All got one now? Over here?
No, we're actually at the font, so like...
Go on, have a pencil. Free. Honestly, there's no such thing as a free pencil. There is. There you go. Right, let's sing this. Let's sing this, Deb. They'll play it through once, just to remind you older ones who probably know it anyway, and then the younger ones will get to know the tune. Thank you, Robert and Jake.
Thank you.
Put your hand up if you knew that song. Show your age.
Let us pray again together, the fellowship of prayer. Let us pray for the world. Lord, you govern the nations. Who would not stand in awe of you, O King of all kingdoms? You sit on your throne determining what is right. You judge the world in righteousness and administer justice to all peoples. We ask that the day will come soon, even before the return of our Lord and Saviour Jesus, when you will make wars cease in every corner of the earth. May nations stop their warring against another. It grieves our heart to see it on the televisions and read about it in the newspapers. Father God, please stop this violence that's being done in Ukraine and Gaza and other places. It truly grieves our hearts. How we yearn that a people may not lift up guns and bombs against another. Bring in that glorious day when nations will study war no more. We know that when Jesus comes again, all violence of man against man will cease. And finally, all will be peace, prayer and praise for his people. Let us pray for our country. Lord, we give you thanks that we live in a relatively peaceful place. And our land gives us so much to richly enjoy. But still there are so many who despise your bounty, and we pray that you would have mercy upon the many in our community and the thousands in our country who do not know you. Will you not turn hearts and minds to yourself, the one true living God? We know that our peace and security is fragile because it is not founded upon your righteousness. We ask that you may give us a stability for our times of continuing political and economic certainty, and that people will look to you for all things needful for life and godliness. May your righteousness flourish among us in this community here in West Winds, where we live and work and worship. We ask you that you raise up God-fearing Christian men and women to be our leaders in politics, law and order, education and health. And for those in such positions now, please would you endue them by your Holy Spirit with much confidence in your word to stand boldly for Christian truth and ethics. Let us pray for the Christian church. We thank you for the church in our land, for every tradition of the Christian faith where your word is faithfully preached and taught. We recognize that there are those who would try to discredit the work of gospel wherever they can. And we pray that you would stop the mouths of the media and all liberals and false teachers. They will be silenced, we pray. We pray that the Church of Jesus Christ may be revived and renewed in its loud and clear proclamation that Jesus is Lord, and that there is salvation in none other name. Come, Holy Spirit, we plead, and do a work in our day that has not been seen for many a generation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have promised to build your church, and so you are, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We ask you, Lord of the Church, to continue to grant to us all that we need to continue this work and witness in West Winds Estate. We thank you for every contact that's been made and every conversation had with our neighbours. Please help us to continue to show love and care to all those around us. And we ask that as a new page and a new chapter will shortly be turned for the ongoing ministry of our church, that you will give us discernment and confidence that your will shall be done. You know the end from the beginning, and our hearts rest in your purposes. We give you praise that so long as we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We rejoice in the grace and peace that we share with everyone, everywhere, who calls upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray for our family and friends. Father God, we ask that you may be gracious to our relatives, friends, neighbours, and acquaintances. Provide for them according to their necessities. Supply their needs according to the immeasurable wealth that is in glory through Christ Jesus. And may those who are yet strangers to your gracious provision come to know that you are the giver of all good gifts. Thank you, our God, that you dwell among all families that fear you and call on your name. You are the head of every Christian household. Please forgive our enemies and those that do not like us or even hate us. Grant us such the gift of faith and repentance, but may we have a just, generous and loving spirit toward all people. We commit to you, Father, the care of the afflicted. Comfort them. Be an ever-present help in their time of special need. Heal the sick. Ease the pain of their suffering. Strengthen the weak against temptation. Relieve the oppressed. Give joy to those that mourn in through loss of a loved one or other trying situation. And in these, we will do our part as you lead us in order that we may show the love of Jesus and help where we can, knowing that always underneath are the everlasting arms. All these thanksgivings and requests we make, Father God, in the name of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's turn to the Bible and read together Psalm 42 and 43. This is the word of God. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While men say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, "Where is your God?" Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Amen. Let's stand to sing again. And it is, I've got peace like a river. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know where I got that one from then. Before the throne of God. Not only is it warm fellowship, it's physically warm as well. Better that than being cold, I suppose. Let's turn again then to Psalm 42 and 43. Now, As the Deer Pants for Water is a popular Christian song, and we're going to sing it at the end of our worship time, and the words are a real expression of desiring God. As we probably know, the opening words are drawn from Psalm 42 and verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. Now in our Bible we have Psalm 42 and 43, but there's a very close connection between both of these psalms. There's a repeated calling upon God that we notice, several verses in Psalm 42 and also in 43. There's a repeated refrain or a chorus in verse 5 of chapter 42. Why you cast down, O my soul, and so on. It's repeated in verse 11 and in also Psalm 45-43 as well. And maybe also they're connected because there is no title written in the original between Psalm 42 and 43. But that may be another reason to connect them. But there are other psalms that don't have headings either. But maybe they're connected. They seem to stand connected to me anyway. Now, the historical context of these psalms is not clear. Was David the author, even though the heading says Psalm 42 is a contemplation of the sons of Korah? Was it while David was fleeing Saul during those years, when he had to move from here and there, or during the uprising of Absalom? We don't know what the occasion of these psalms was. But whatever the original purpose or circumstances, these psalms have applicational and usefulness for us as individuals and also as a church. Notice how full of personal application are these psalms. There is frequent use of me and my. Very personal devotions they are. Martin Luther considered the best insight into these psalms was by regarding God as sometimes as hiding his face and then clearly revealing himself in mercy as a light and deliverer. These psalms are a prayer from someone who really, really yearns for God. And is there something in this desire for us to cultivate for ourselves? A little boy was sitting next to an old man of God, seated beside a river. "Will you teach me to pray?" the boy asked. "Are you sure that you want to learn?" the man asked. "Yes, of course." And with that, he grabbed the boy's neck and plunged his head into the water. He held him there while the boy kicked and screamed and tried to get away. Well, he couldn't scream underwater, I suppose. But finally, after what seemed to the boy such a long time, the man of God let him out of the water. "What was that for?" the boy spluttered. "That was your first lesson in prayer. When you long for God the way you long to breathe, then you will be able to pray." So let's move through these psalms, looking at two or three verses at a time. We are thinking of desiring God. Verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 42. "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" All Christians, I put it to you, should have this desire for the immediate presence of God, a yearning for face-to-face meeting with our Saviour. Paul wrote, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. And if I live on in the flesh," he wrote, "this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Now, to be sure, that is the reality, to depart and be with Christ. That is the reality for each of us who trusts in Jesus. That wonderful meeting with him, and yet we should have a foretaste of that now. But our desiring God should not just be in the bad times, but also in the good times. And maybe, just maybe, God sends us bad, lean, difficult, trying times in order to foster our desire for him at all times. But our heart is so changeable, isn't it? Yes, even the born-again heart, that if left in times of blessing and prosperity and comfortable circumstances, we easily and quickly forget God, the God who gives us life and breath and everything that we have. God warned his people of that very danger after he delivered them from Egypt. Moses wrote, So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And what is that deliverance of the people of God from Egypt, if not a picture of our salvation? And therefore the warning applies to us as well. Beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out and has blessed you so richly. C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, famous book, Mere Christianity, how creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger. Well, there is such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there is such a thing as water. If I find in myself a desire that no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world, wrote Lewis. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that does not prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it, to suggest the real thing. So it is. Blaise Pascal was a French mathematician and philosopher. And a summary of what he wrote about desire is this. There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person, and it can never be filled by any created thing. In truth, our heart can only be filled with God, made known through Jesus Christ the Lord, and this is what people need. This is what people are looking for, but they do not know it. They don't know where to look. And this is why we must share the love of God in Jesus Christ with as many people as we can. Because we know, we experience how he satisfies our deepest longings. Move on to verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Here is a puzzle. The more you and I desire God's presence, the more we seek his face, then the more will the accuser of souls, the one who tests our faith, the devil, tempt and taunt us and challenge us. And yet the more we are tested and tried, the more we need to seek God's comfort. You can be sure of this. The devil will not tempt, taunt, and accuse those who merrily sit on the fence and demonstrate little or no commitment to the things of God. But the moment that you or I get off the fence into wholehearted discipleship and desiring God's ways, then we may well experience isolation and accusation. Yes, even at times, a sense of abandonment by God. St. John of the Cross wrote a poem entitled The Dark Night of the Soul. And this poem represents the hardships and difficulties we may experience as we try to live in the world but are not of the world, and as we desire a close relationship with our Creator. Ah, yes, the trials of life may well bring some tears, but we should never despise those emotions in adversity. We should never pretend that Christians are above emotion and have a stiff upper lip at all times. If God permits you or I to be afflicted by Satan, if calamity should befall us, if non-believers scoff us and say, "Where is your God?" If we are left alone, just because these things come from God or are permitted by him does not mean that we cannot shed a tear or ache in our heart. Indeed not. For when we do allow our emotions expression, then the child of God will seek God and then find him to be what? The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with a multitude, and I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. It is surprising, isn't it, how often the past seems to be better than the present, or even the prospect of the future. Here we are in today, and we can sometimes too much long for yesterday, and even for tomorrow. Strangely, isn't it, how the good old days always glow, and are hardly without fault. But of course, that was not really how things were. Recall, however, that our Lord Jesus exhorts us not to look back in any way that hankers after past days. No one, he says, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Was it not murmuring by the children of Israel for past blessings when in the wilderness they angered God? However, that's not the sort of backward look the psalmist is expressing here in verse 4. He's only reflecting upon the past as an earnest desire for the privileges he once enjoyed for them to be again a present reality, if the Lord wills. What he desires is for a continuation of the presence and the blessing of God. There is no sense of wishing the things that had never changed. A Victorian commentator by the name of William Plummer wrote, "Even if the memory of past joys has some tendency to deepen present distress, yet it is best not to forget them, for he who once filled our mouth with praise can bring back the days when the candle of the Lord shined upon us." Quaint but true. You see, we have to remember that God is dynamic. "Behold," he says, "I will do a new thing." Renewed blessings are not going to be the same in every circumstance as they were in the past. But there will be blessing. Of that you can be sure. Verse 6. "O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar." Now these words are an echo of the desire expressed really in verses 1 and 2. And perhaps one day when you're feeling low and depressed, and we all do from time to time, through overwork, tiredness, circumstances beyond our control, it is often hard to pray, hard to read the Bible, difficult to worship God. And yet this is the paradox of the Christian experience. The only way out of a low feeling is to do just those very things. To desire God, to remember God. It is an exercise of your will and a stirring of the mind. Not just languishing in the way we feel. The words of Jude are, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." It's a command. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Again, let me quote Plummer. "When tempted to despond, we must rally and exhort ourselves by a consideration of the truths suited to our case. Dejection is not the offspring of piety. We must have faith and hope in God, or we must lose our cause. In the highs and the lows, we remember God." Verses 7 and 8. "Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life." These words need little comment, except to emphasize that we must acknowledge our trials and difficulties for what they are. God allows these things to come our way. Yes, even if they come rushing over us like a waterfall, like a raging torrent and a tsunami. We must believe in our hearts the words of the Apostle Peter. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion for ever and ever. Surely we will have that assurance that God will never leave us, nor forsake us, nor leave us, because he loves us with an everlasting love. It is with cords of unbreakable kindness that he has drawn us to himself, and we need no other ground of peace and joy. Verses 9 and 10. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, again, where is your God? Yes, we must acknowledge our trials when they come for what they are, sent by the hand of God, permitted by God. But nevertheless, we may still express our perplexity about them. It is quite okay for you and I to say, why God? Providing we do not have an angry heart and shake a fist at him. We must ask the question only with a humble heart, with an open heart, ready to receive whatever he is pleased to send to us. Of course, God does not guarantee an answer if you ask, why God? Often the ways of the Lord are past finding out. For the answers to our deepest questions, friends, we have to wait till that day when we see him face to face and be with our Saviour. But until then, we desire God in all the vagaries, all the unexpected happenings of life. Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. Of his deliverance I will boast, till all that are distressed from my example comfort take and lay their griefs to rest. And this must be our constant desiring God, even when we get overlooked at work because of our Christian faith, even when our neighbour makes cynical remarks, even when unbelieving loved ones despise us, or whatever. Yes, these experiences can be just as painful as broken bones, as the psalmist writes here. Let them scoff, asking, where is your God? Because we know the answer to that question, don't we? He is with me, and he will never forsake me. Moving into Psalm 43 in the first three verses. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. As the people of God, we stand against the forces of the world and of Satan. We know that if God is for us, who can be against us? We are not fearful of committing ourselves to God, knowing that his way shall prevail. If at times, maybe, we feel alone and even forsaken by God, and ploughing a lonely furrow, this we know, that God's will shall be done. He is gathering together all things under one head, even Christ Jesus our Lord, and none and nothing can stop him from achieving that. Peter tells us we have the prophetic word confirmed, which we do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. There's a very clear order here in these first three verses of Psalm 43. It is through trial and difficulty, it is by holding to the word of truth, that we shall eventually be brought to the holy hill of heavenly Zion, to the Mount of God, to an innumerable company of the redeemed. This is the consistent pattern of teaching in the Bible, clearly announced by the Lord Jesus and further confirmed by the Apostle Paul. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Verse 4 of this psalm. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. This is one of the great motivating principles of a committed Christian, is that God's praises should be sung, not just by us, by everyone. It is our heartfelt desire that men and women, boys and girls, may be so influenced by the Holy Spirit that there will be a multiplication of praise, the fruit of lips that confess Jesus as Lord. A number that no man can count, even in our day. Not a home here in this estate where Jesus' name is not praised. That's our desire, isn't it? This surely is the very reason of being a church of Jesus Christ. The desire for 1,000 tongues to sing our great Redeemer's praise should never be lost. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. You and I must want to see people going to the altar of God, to God their exceeding joy and yours. People without number praising him through the mediation of Jesus Christ. And this is our hope. That day will come. So to close, we focus upon the refrain or the chorus there mentioned in verse 5 and 11 of Psalm 42 and also in verse 5 of 43. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Good question. Why are you disquieted within me? Another good question. Yes, there will be times when you and I will feel a bit low. Yes, there'll be times when you as a church will feel cast down at a bit of a loss, knowing which direction you should go. We must face up to that and allow our emotions. God made us a whole person. We will allow our emotions to turn us to our loving Heavenly Father. And we will hope in God. For I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance, his face, his presence. Someone wrote, fears and faith, doubt and devotion, sorrow and song may intermingle. So keep hoping in God. To hope means to wait and to expect. Thus hope in God. He will not disappoint. He has not left you individually as a church. He never will. Keep desiring God. Someone else who knew these things wrote, the darkest night has its star, the longest night its morning. So above all else, and in all situations, in every day, desire God in Jesus Christ, for he is our salvation and our joy. Amen. We can now sing that song, as the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you.
Thank you.
Almighty God, our Father in Jesus, we have turned again to your word. Nay, we have turned to you, for we desire you. Continue to turn us back to yourself, so that we may be thankful, humble, loving, for you are our salvation, our boldness, and our strength. In Jesus' name, amen.